I'm Marco Werman with The World. During the Cold War, science fiction writers used the specter of nuclear war to scare and entertain us, and that made its way into all forms of popular culture.
Why should you build such a thing?
There were those of us who fought against it, but in the end we could not keep up with the expense involved in the arms race, the space race, and the peace race.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What are we gonna do?
And now with Donald Trump tweeting about how he wants to expand our nuclear capability and even declaring he's ready for a new arms race with Russia, the theme of nuclear anxiety is coming back into the picture. The World's Daniel Gross has been speaking with two science fiction writers, David Brin and Catherine Asaro, about how the nuclear threat has shaped pop culture, both during the Cold War and now. Daniel, I remember when I was a kid snooping around old fallout shelters at my school, and, you know, there were these supplies of food and water in case a nuclear bomb went off and people would have to live in the basement of these buildings. It was kind of weird. These fears have been affecting writers for a while.
They really have. I spoke to David Brin and Catherine Asaro about this. Their childhood memories include actually doing duck and cover drills in class. The teacher would say, in the middle of a lesson, would just announce, everybody duck and cover, and the kids would dive underneath their tables as if that was going to save them from a nuclear explosion. There was a lot of fear at the time, but David Brin also told me something surprising, which is that he thinks he's alive today because of nukes.
Life is filled with ironies. Nuclear weapons are terrifying, and they were traumatic for me. And yet, all of the males of my generation were scheduled to go off to a fight in a conventional World War III in the 1970s. Instead, all we got was Vietnam, which was bad enough. We would have all gone off and died, the males of my generation, in something horrible, because that's what the rhythm was. And we were saved by the bomb.
What about both with David Brin and with Catherine Asaro? Do they kind of have childhood memories that they've embedded in their fiction?
Brin did especially. He told me that his most famous novel, which is called The Postman, and it's set in this post-apocalyptic wasteland, that was an attempt to sort of work through those anxieties of the time. Catherine Asaro also has worked some of these anxieties into her fiction. Asaro told me that nuclear weapons, and especially this idea of nuclear winter, that, you know, in the wake of a nuclear attack, so much dust would be thrown up into the air that the entire climate of the world would be changed. She said that's still a big source of anxiety.
I don't think that fear has gone away. I think it's increased to the point where it's not just nuclear winter anymore. There's so many other ways that people perceive we could have that kind of apocalyptic future. This is the future our kids see that we're leaving them. And I find that very sobering.
I asked Brin and Asaro to elaborate on that question of what are people imagining could happen to our world. And they mentioned topics other than nuclear weapons. There's also the possibility that a rogue nation could attack the United States or a world power. There's climate change. And there's artificial intelligence. And all of these are showing up in science fiction as nuclear weapons used to.
So, Daniel, what role do you think science fiction writers can play in addressing all these concerns?
There's actually one very concrete way, and that's actually by offering advice to the U.S. government. Asaro and Brin have consulted for the government. Asaro recently gave a talk to the U.S. Army about the future of warfare. And Brin told me that when writers try to imagine how bad things could get, that kind of helps readers grasp how important these issues are. The idea is if you imagine a disaster in your fiction, then people will work to make that disaster less likely. And Asaro pointed out that science fiction writers kind of have an advantage here because it's their job to think outside the box. And she and Brin are really imaginative people.
We're rushing headlong into this future. And it's best if we poke sticks in the ground that we're about to be running across, because that can find the landmines, the snake pits, the quicksand.
Exactly. We've got to poke the beast and see if it roars at us.
Or poke the beehive and see if they'll be friendly and give us some honey.
A few reflections there on nuclear weapons and the future from two science fiction writers, David Brin and Catherine Asaro. They spoke with the World's Daniel Gross. Daniel, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Marco.
Maybe you've got questions for Catherine Asaro and David Brin about nukes, science fiction, I don't know, the apocalypse. Well, you're in luck, because tomorrow morning they're hosting an AMA, that's Ask Me Anything, on Reddit. You can find them there from 9 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, and we'll have a link at PRI.org.